Hello and welcome to Press X, the game and part of the Geek Show podcast network. My name is Mark, and we've got a whole host of gaming chatter for your ear holes or whichever holes you want to put them in. With me is Rob.
Whichever holes.
Well, you never know. We don't want to assume. Andy's also here.
Yes, although I don't know how long for now. So it took a very sinister turn already.
Yes, it did.
Well, you might be putting them into your eye holes. You might be reading the subtitled version of this.
That was a sharp left turn that no one expected. That ended very badly.
I tried to salvage it.
I know you did. So, how are you guys this week?
Yeah.
A bit of positivity. I'm good.
So, do you remember what we talked about at the end of the last show? We were challenging each other to play a game that wasn't released this year, that we didn't buy this year.
Yes.
Has anyone actually done it?
I did it, sort of.
Okay.
I played two games.
Oh?
But all of them were free. I didn't buy them. So hopefully that's in the challenge.
Did you get them this year?
No.
Right, okay.
Did you get them free if you bought something else?
No.
It's fine. He's found the cunning loophole in this entire thing.
Well, the games that you own that you haven't played really, aren't they? So.
Yeah. Mm. So what were the games?
Well, by the time free, I mean, I got the codes for them.
So okay.
First one that I played is, I got this code off a mate, and because Steam sells the game in a pack of four.
Okay.
For like a cheaper price, here's a code. And that was over a year ago. So I finally played it today, and it's called Dino D-Day.
What? Dino D-Day?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of my online games, but this one intrigued me, because this is basically, you know, you've got your World War II online shoot 'em up games.
I was literally about to ask, is this the Normandy landings, but with T-Rexes?
Sort of, yes. You've hit the nail on the head here. Basically, Hitler found a way to resurrect dinosaurs.
No, I think you'll find Andrew was right. Andrew from Literary Loitering and Four Panel, he was right. He predicted Hitler, Raptor, and the Tyrannosaurus Reich, and it sounds like that's what you have.
But yeah, basically, it's online game where you've got your basic modes. You've got your, you know, your deathmatch mode, and you've got your team objective modes and stuff like that.
See, I like the fact that you define deathmatch, something that historically has meant, you know, heads and blood and guts and limbs lying on the floor, and suddenly it's a basic mode in gaming.
Well, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Technically. But, for example, each team has human-like people, characters, and also dinosaur characters. But these dinosaurs also have machine guns on their heads.
Right.
So, basically, it's like the sharks with lasers. Now we've got machine gun dinosaurs.
Yes. But it's quite a fun game. It's a bit draggy. It's like a bit samey. If you played one shooter, you played them all. But the dinosaurs had a nice perk.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm going to say a brief second game I've also played, because I bought the first game in this series over a year ago. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And Lucius 2.
Lucius 2? Oh, is that the horror one? The one about the kid?
Yeah, it's basically The Omen.
Yeah.
But in game format.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to play this game for a while.
I picked up the first one for about 90 pence.
Okay.
And the other one I got free. It was in a bundle. And I'm really enjoying it. It's hasn't had the best reviews, negative to say the least. But there's really no limit with it. You just go around a mental institution and basically kill people in mysterious ways any way that you want.
Okay.
So it's quite a fun game.
It's quite a fun game. You make it sound like Manhunt starring Damien.
It probably is, but he's called Lucius. But anyway,
no wonder he's so angry. His parents called him Lucius. what about you then, Mark?
Well, the game I set out to play was Guardians Crusade on the PS1. And I'm not going to lie, I've had very little time to actually sit down and play games. So I probably got about 20 minutes into that before I had to do something else. And it was good from what I played. It was a nice little GRPG. It seemed a little bit on like my first GRPG kind of things.
I've got to ask, since you played 20 minutes of it, did you make it past the intro?
Well, past the intro, like, opening scene, and I was
you know why I'm asking.
For about 10 minutes, and I went into a few people's houses, and that's about as far as I got.
So, you know why I'm asking. It's anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes could be the intro of a JRPG.
Yeah, the intro, like, the actual opening scene was, like, about a minute. It's not really a long intro for this one.
One of the worst culprits was Trails of Cold Steel 3. That was one.
That's not even out yet over here, though, is it?
Trails of Cold Steel 3?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
No. Only the first two are out.
Is it? Two then, not three.
Yeah, two, yeah. Well, for me, the one with the longest intro, it was Star Ocean on the PS3.
Which
one? I can't remember what it's called.
What, the last hub? Oh, Star Ocean International.
International. That was like an hour before I even got to even control a character.
Oh, that sounds a lot longer than Final Fantasy XII, and that was a long one.
Yeah, it was lengthy. But on the other hand, I have had a little bit of time to actually sit down and play my Game Boy Color, and a long time ago, I played a game on an emulator called Survival Kids from Konami. This was probably 1999, 2000. And a few years ago, I just wanted to play it again. And I bought it, except it's now called Stranded Kids, which is the European version of it. And it sat on my desk for like a long time. And I was just like, I'll actually sit down and play it. And it's very fun. Now, has anybody played a DS title called Lost in Blue?
Yes.
This is actually the prequel to it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, this is basically what... Lost in Blue in Japan is called Lost in Blue Survival Kids.
Yeah.
So this is actually like the original version of that game.
All right. Because one of the things I noticed about Lost in Blue, there were certain... How do we say it? There were certain Lord of the Flies overtones in there from time to time.
Yeah. Well, this isn't... quite as bad as that. It's very more relaxing. It's a little bit more like Harvest Moon, in which you've got to gather your stuff, survive day by day. And yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a shame that this one isn't one that's been re-released onto another thing, because it's, I would actually say it's probably a forgotten classic for the Game Boy era.
Alright.
I got the cartridge by itself, and the probably cost about 40 quid. It's one of those ones that faded into obscurity pretty quickly, but it's, if you like your resource management and your survival kind of games, it's a fun, quite challenging title.
Awesome. Yeah, my challenge was basically, I have that PSP collection, I bought a PSP, let's play a game on the PSP. So, I you guys have seen some of the games that I had to choose from.
All JRPGs as well.
Not all JRPGs. Because if you notice in that picture I sent you, there is Monster Hunter Freedom there, and Freedom Unite, as Metal Slug Anthology, Power Stone, Puzzle Chronicles, Lord of the Rings Tactics, as Tenchu, Medieval, plenty of Final Fantasy, Astonisher Story, Phantasy Star Portable, Innocent Life, Parappa the Rapper, though.
Pappy Rappy.
I've got Gitaru Man Lives and all sorts of other stuff. There's a couple of Dynasty Warriors things in there, and Samurai Warriors and all sorts of other stuff. There's Ghost in the Shell and Coded Arms, and I could list and list and list all the games I've got.
The way you say that, you can tell the pride you have in the collection, and the screenshot that you sent us, you can tell how proud you have, because you arrange it like it's in a game shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you know what I decided to try? Because I'd heard a lot about this, and I tend to take what other people say when it comes to RPGs with a pinch of salt, because I like to make my own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to play a game where I have to protect the ones that protect the world, and a game that has a tragic destiny born from the blood of the dragon. Do you think I'm talking about Drakengard? Am I hell? It was Dragoneer's Aria by the company that was then called Koei, but is now called Koei Tecmo. And I got several hours into Dragoneer's Aria to realize that I'm not going to finish the game. It's going to be another game that I just don't finish. Because, you know, I have loads of patience with JRPGs, and I have a soft spot for certain types of JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
Dragoneer's Aria is one of the ones that I don't have a soft spot for. And graphically on the PSP, it's fine. It's not the standard of graphics that we used to now, especially with the power of the Vita and stuff like that. But for the PSP, it's all right. The problem is that it's just the controls are twitchy. The story isn't really that interesting. The battle system is just, you know, it's just not endearing as a game. I like the idea of it, you know. I like the fact that you've got recipes and crafting, and you've got Dragoneer mode, which you can have 2 to 4 players in a cooperative fashion over, you know, over a wireless LAN. And that's another mode that they can do, right? But at the end of it, it's about a guy who graduates from Dragoon Academy, and he now has to do things in this fantasy world with dragons and stuff like that. So... yeah, just no. I mean, it's an average game. I'd say it's not a bad game. It's average. It's tedious, tediously average.
Yeah,
and I can say that because the game's been out for when did this game? The game's been out
about 10 years now.
The game's been out for what? It's been out for 11 years, so it's fine. I can say what I want about it now.
Not going to lose any sales there.
No. But with it being a game that, I'm sorry to say, you know, as much as I love Koei Tecmo for doing the Atelier series, right? The Atelier franchise is one of my terminal favorites. You know this. I've made no secret of that. And as much as I like them for those games and for various other games that they've done, Dragon Age Aria isn't one of their shining moments.
Hmm.
But it does beg the question, though, especially after we were talking about unfinished games, I do have to ask, what games are you guys proud of finishing?
Now, is this finishing as in I got to the end credits, or is this finishing as in I did everything I could and got 100%?
Either. You decide. It's what it's what you're proudest of. So it could just be the end credits. Let's go, for example, I've got 2 alternatives that I could immediately throw out here. The first one is finishing Shenmue, right?
Yeah.
Shenmue 1 and 2. I'm really proud of the fact that I've finished Shenmue 1 and 2. Not just once, not just twice, not just thrice, but several, multiple times, right?
Mm.
But it's a fairly linear story.
Yeah.
The other one that I'm really proud of is the fact that I've finished all of the first Drakengard game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me what the hell happened in the second game or the third game, because I'm not going to answer. Because the third game is basically a prequel to Drakengard. The second game, nobody seems to know what part of Drakengard it is, you know, which of the endings. Because there's 5 endings for the original Drakengard, and all of them are... do you explain the endings to Drakengard? Weird as balls.
Yeah. doesn't Drakengard 3 go off Nia, and then it's Nia's world in like about 2,000 years time or something like that, because Nia is on the end of one of the Drakengard stories as well.
No, this is the thing. That's where people get confused. The way it goes is you have Drakengard, which had 5 endings, right? The 5 endings basically, they kind of went A, B, C, D, E, right? There was the, there was the Anguish of Watcher thingy. Flowers, that Broken Spirit one, Companions, Eternal Farewell, I think it was. Something for a Deluded Child, and the end of the dragon something. And those were the five endings of Drakengard. And then from the fifth ending of Drakengard, it went on to Nier, right?
Yeah.
But Drakengard 3, because Nier, they went on to Nier Automata, but Drakengard 3 is actually a prequel to Drakengard.
Right, yeah, because I've obviously, the stuff in Nier Automata does reference Drakengard 3, so it's...
Yeah, but what it's doing, it's referencing Drakengard 3 that happened before Drakengard. But Drakengard 2, nobody seems to know, not even the developers, which bit of Drakengard it fits into. Drakengard 2 is basically the ginger stepchild of the Drakengard franchise. They know it's related to them, but they don't want to admit how it's related to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really proud of the fact that I finished all of the original Drakengard game. I'm also very confused about the fact that I finished all of the original Drakengard game, because for the life of me, I still can't remember why I wanted to finish it so much.
Yeah, but see, I mean, I finished the two Nier games and Drakengard 3, but I tried playing the first one again, and I always got about 3 hours in, and I think I'd never touched it again.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those games. The problem was I was going back to it rather than playing it for the first time. But for me, it's hard to say what the thing I'm most proud of finishing. Suikoden, I did Suikoden 1, then 2, then imported me stuff into Suikoden 3, so I kind of got the whole story tying into each other.
Okay.
But most of the others is just stuff I've sunk too many hours into. Like, I did every last thing I could in Ni No Kuni. I did every last thing I could in Xenoblade Chronicles. Breath of the Wild, so that's probably the most recent one. I probably just did everything I could into it. There's many, many other titles that I probably just finished, and I was like, yeah, I really enjoyed that, but I was like, there's no way I'm sinking another 100 hours just to get that shiny platinum trophy in that.
What about you, Andy?
Well, I'm split between two. My first one is the original Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
Because that game, to me, is what I grew up playing.
Yeah.
But I'm not just talking about the first playthrough. Or the second. Or
Did you go for unlimited... did you go for the ribbon and then the bond suit?
Oh, yeah, I did that. That's an achievement in itself. But I'm on about my one and only time extreme difficulty playthrough.
Okay.
Because that was hard. That's why I didn't do it again. And like from that day, I can say I finished Metal Gear Solid on the hardest difficulty. Even I didn't get past the torture without submitting, because he does it 6 times on the top, like the highest duration as well.
So you submitted to the liquid snake, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Andy, I couldn't resist.
Well, for any Metal Gear Solid fans listening, they'll probably be yelling at their phones or their PCs or whatever to listen to this on, because it's Ocelot that does the torture.
Oh, right.
But that's a very proud gaming achievement for me.
All right.
And the second one I have to mention is my 100% completion for Final Fantasy X. That took me 13 years to do.
I actually have that as one of my achievements as well. I've got to say, it took me ages to do, and several game guides as well.
Yeah, well, I started it on the original PS2 version.
Yeah.
And 100%ed it on the PS3 version. I got about 99.7% on the PS2 version.
Yeah.
The only thing I couldn't do was beat that penance boss.
Yeah, penance is a pain. And I finally beat it. The thing that annoyed me a little bit was when they did 10 Part 2, they had that 100-level dungeon. And that was a right pain in the arse to finish.
I remember doing that, because that was how you got half of the story for one of the main characters as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you also got, like, the best accessory in the game, the Iron Duke, from that, which gave you plus 50 to all your stats. You're like,
yeah.
It's weird, because a lot of the ones that I class as achievements, a lot of those, stuff like Shenmue and that, they came out before this whole idea of trophies. I mean, one of my other proudest achievements is finishing Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. Have you guys actually played that?
I haven't.
No.
Right. You know about Metro, though, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. In Metro, this whole idea is that bullets are limited resource. Everything is limited, right? Everything is limited. And Stalker was kind of the first game to throw that out into the world. You were in this environment. You were in the zone and everything was limited. You had limited bullets, limited food, limited medicine, everything. And so you had to manage yourself and you had to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to basically just manage your resources as best you could. And when you play that game, it's one of the few first-person shooters that I can actually sit down and play without feeling motion sick. But when you play Stalker, there's an atmosphere to it, which I only really rediscovered that atmosphere when I started playing Metro. You know, Metro 2033 and so on. So that's one of the reasons I love the Metro games so much, is because Stalker left such an impression on me, especially with me. You know, it was one of the few games that I was so invested in that I read everything I could to try and do like 100% of the game, to try and do as much of it as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of the fact that I finished that game.
Hmm. Oh, well, good. I mean, I'm kind of weird because it's like, if I play a game on the PlayStation, I will set out to try and get that platinum.
Yeah. But
I find that the games that don't have this achievement system are the ones I value completing more.
Yeah, it's weird how you think that, because I mean, when you think about it, if you take, say, Final Fantasy as a series, if you take the main games from Final Fantasy, right, and you think about the Final Fantasy games that you've played, which ones do you like saying, I've finished that game? Because I've finished all of the Final Fantasy games, all of the main series of Final Fantasy games, all of them. But the ones I'm proudest of finishing, the ones I'm happiest about, you know, that I'll freely admit, you know, these are the best Final Fantasy games, are number 4 and number 6.
Yeah, I'm the same. To be honest, the one that sticks in my head most for completing isn't even my favourite one, and it's actually Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2 for the DS.
Yeah.
Because I just remember lying in bed ill for a long period of time, just playing that for ages and doing literally everything I could in that game.
Yeah.
And that sticks in my head more than any of the others, because yeah. When I had the time, I tried to go for the platinum for Final Fantasy 13, and it got to a certain point where I was sat there like, well, I've got 2 more trophies I need to get, and there's 40 more hours to grind for this. And it's like, it's not even worth the 40 hours just to get 2 more, just to see I've done it 100%.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, for me, I think it was 9, 10, 12, and 15.
Yeah, 10 again is still one of my achievements. It's still one of my high points for Final Fantasy. But it's not so much the game itself, it's the 100% that I class as an achievement more so than the game.
Yeah, because the bit after the game, and probably most Final Fantasy games actually, is longer than the actual story.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. There are various games like that, but I think the majority of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head that I really am proud of finishing, stuff like Discworld Noir, it's basically a point-and-click adventure. Stuff like that, and Day of the Tentacle, and the original Monkey Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I class those as games that I am really, really proud of the fact that I finished those games. Especially stuff like Day of the Tentacle and the original Monkey Island. Because how many people these days can turn around? How many people will say, yeah, I finished the original Monkey Island?
That's something for me to play through again, I think, because the remaster I've got on my Steam list is just sitting there.
I played the remaster. I think it was the first and second game when they released it on the PS3. I played that years ago, and I can't remember if I did everything. I did everything, but I missed one thing or something, so it's like I didn't get 100%.
Yeah.
But for me, one of the ones that always sticks in my mind is The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
It's not difficult, but for me, that was the first Zelda I ever finished. And I remember being pretty young. I think I was probably about 5 or 6. So I do remember that being a very, what I was really proud to see. Oh, well, I managed to do everything I could in that game because I was so young and I managed to do it then. These days, that's like, oh, well, I finished Senra and Kagura. It took us a week. And it's like, yeah, it's like, it doesn't mean anything to us. It's like, it's a game I really enjoyed. And, well, I enjoyed it and I'm never going to touch it again.
Yeah, but the thing is, that doesn't make you a jaded gamer, does it?
No, no.
And that, I think that's one of the misconceptions that people have these days, is that if you feel like that with video games, then you're jaded. But that's not the case at all. It's just, there are certain games that they sing to you, right? They match you in a way that you can't explain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like music and movies and pretty much any kind of entertainment media. There are certain things that just, you know, we like because we like them. We can't really explain why. I like George of the Jungle. And I'm saying that mainly because I know that Rob will eventually listen to this and hate me for the fact that I like George of the Jungle. But I like it. It's a silly, stupid, goofy film. But for some reason, I don't know why, but it works for me, right?
Yeah.
But I've got to ask, though, because you did raise the issue of trophies, Mark.
Yeah.
So we've got to head down that rabbit hole, okay? We've got to head down that rabbit hole. What do you think of this whole idea, you guys? What do you think of this whole idea of finishing games just to get trophies?
Well, when I was younger, I used to be, oh, I need that trophy. It used to be a thing that motivated you to replay your games. But now, I like the idea because it has the book effect, I call it. You can see your progress. For example, in Telltale games, there's 6 chapters in each episode. So you know how far you're getting along.
Yeah, but you know how far you're getting along just by playing the game as well. Again, that's the book effect. You have a bookmark.
Mm.
See, I'm kind of mixed on it because part of it, like I said, if I'm not enjoying a game, I probably won't bother to even look at the trophy list for it.
Mm.
But if I am enjoying the game, there is a few games that I would have finished and never touched again if it wasn't for the trophy list. So, for example, I'm going back to Senua and Kagura. I did both Peach Beach Splash late last year, and I did the other one that was on the PS4 late last year as well. You can probably finish the main story of that in about 15, 20 hours, if that. But I sat and did everything I could in it, and I got the 100%, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I got a lot more value out of those games than I would have if that trophy list wasn't there, because I would have just went to the end and just been like, yeah, I'm done. That's it. It's sometimes it does give us a little bit of an incentive just to finish them. But what I don't like is when people purposely go out and just to say for bragging rights for the trophy list and say, well, I've got 100 of these platinum games, but when you look at them, all of them are shovelware titles, or there's games like Harry Potter and, oh, what was the, Hannah Montana was the popular one, wasn't it, where you could get that the platinum trophy for that in like 5 minutes. And it's like, bye. There's nothing to be proud about that.
See, I look at that and I just go, okay, number one, you've got too much time on your hands, right? Number two, trophies are trophies. They don't signify anything, because if it was a proper trophy, you would basically have a cabinet that would hold it, right? So don't give me that nonsense about these being actual trophies. You haven't earned anything. You just spent a lot of time playing a game.
Imagine that though, Rob. Every time you got a trophy, you got one delivered to your house.
Yeah. See, that's basically what I'm saying. Every time you win a trophy, they send you a little trophy. You'd soon realize that you're spending far too much time playing video games once your house is full of trophies, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't like the idea of trophies. Let's see. Using The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 is a really interesting example of this, right? The Witcher 3, like any game, had all sorts of trophies, yeah? But what CD Projekt Red did was, for example, with the DLC, they made basically all of the DLC free, but they charged you for the expansion. they were one of the few companies who did that, weren't they?
Yeah.
And that made everybody happy because the expansion is like a whole other huge chunk of game, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
And so an expansion makes sense to actually charge people for it. It's basically like playing another game, but set in that world. That works for me. And if the trophy was something like that, so the trophy was a part of the game that I haven't played yet, and the trophy was linked to that, then I would say, yes, fine. That's all well and good. But you get trophies for stuff like, oh, yes, you've taken your first step. Oh, yes, you've learned how to run. Oh, yes, you've shot your first enemy in the head. Oh, yes, you've shot your first enemy in the balls.
Yeah, oh. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, I hear these ones that's like, you press start, well done, have a trophy. I think, was it Assassin's Creed 2 that did that?
Yeah.
You were born, well done. It's like, I haven't done anything. I've just switched the game on.
And my point is that by giving away so many trophies in games, they devalue the idea of a trophy. There's no achievement there.
For example, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection.
Yes. Yes.
You know the achievements I mean.
Yes, I know the achievements you mean. Oh, look, I'm going to stare at Meryl's butt.
I was just about to say, it's like, I'd say I've got the ones, well, like for Near Automata, where you've got to try and look up 2B's skirt and it stops you, and then you try it too many times and it comes up, you perv, you win a trophy. And Lollipop Chainsaw had one as well, didn't it? It was very similar. It's like, I don't mind them with the kind of like the one in the blue moon. It's like you'll get one in the full of the whole trophy list.
Yeah.
But when it's like, I think Assassin's Creed had some where you've got to do so much specific stuff so many times and you get a trophy. It's like, it's not stuff you'll ever do naturally in the game.
Yeah.
That's like 10 trophies just to do all this random stuff. It's like, yeah, you're not going to do it normally. You're going to spend about an hour on each one doing it. So it's like you're literally just adding 10 hours to the game just doing pointless stuff that you don't even need to do.
Yeah. There's a whole host of just plain dumb achievements, you know, and trophies that you get. Like I said, they devalue the idea of the trophy. That's one of the reasons why. One of the games I finished, I think it was this year or last year, one of the Wise games, you know, Lacrimosa of Dana. I really enjoyed that game. But I was not interested at all in what trophies I was getting. Every so often it'd pop up with, you've got this trophy, you've got that trophy. Did I actually read that and check what the trophy was about? No. I just kept playing the game because I was invested in the story. That's the type of game that I enjoy playing the most. And like you said, Mark, you know, it's games where the trophy isn't the main objective that you tend to regard as more special, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there still is a few. Like you said, there's a few titles where I'll sit and I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. I want to get 100% and see it. I've done it. I'm probably never going to play it again. I mean, like I said, Ni No Kuni, that was pretty grindy towards the end, but I don't regret ever getting that 100%. Whereas there's other titles. I think Valkyria Chronicles is probably my favorite title on the PS3, but I think I went through the game once, and to get 100%, you've got to play it 2 or 3 more times, and I'm like, I'm just not willing to do that. There's some game, but it doesn't mean that I don't enjoy the game as much. It's just, I played that game once, I loved it, but that's all I needed to do. I didn't need to get 100% to say, oh yeah, I got the most out of that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it just depends on how much you're enjoying it. I mean, I'm close up to clocking up 150 hours on Fire Emblem Warriors now, and I'm still really enjoying it because it's a game I can just pick up and just sink 3 or 4 hours a night into it without batting an eyelid.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, you're not doing that for the achievement though, are you? You're doing that because you're enjoying the game.
I'm doing it for the fun. But there is one more pet peeve I've got with this trophy system.
Oh.
And that is...
Just the one pet peeve?
Well, there's another, like I said, there's another one. And that is online trophies.
Yes.
Because there's been so many games that require an online thing. I think Just Cause 3 was one that, or was it Just Cause 2, that requires an online trophy. But the servers have been down for years, so it's like you actually can't do everything in the game anyway. So it's like, so what's the point in trying for any of these other trophies if you know you can't get 100%? It's like, it just really annoys us. It's like, it can be so close, but you can never actually get 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, you get some really impossible ones online as well. For example, SmackDown vs. Raw 2008 was win 40 online matches in a row.
That's horrible. That is really bad. But I mean, there's some way you've literally got to play with people online and they've got to just help you trophy boost it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're having to do that with two people just to see it, you get this little pretend trophy, it's not worth it. And then half of them, you can't get any more anyway because the servers are gone. So it's like, don't make online trophies.
Yeah, do you know the other type of trophy that I really hate? Though, and I when I say hate, I'm using the word hate very mildly, very loosely. I want to find the person whose idea this was and tear parts of them off and make them eat them. You know when you're playing like a sports game like FIFA or PES or something like that, and you basically take a shot or you're going to score the winning goal and then time's up, yeah?
Yeah.
And then I think NBA Jam did this one. It had a trophy called Too Late where you're just about to make the winning shot, right? You're in midair on a dunk or something like that, or you've got the ball, and then all of a sudden it'll flash up, too late because the game's over. And it's basically rubbing salt in the wounds that you've lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Those ones I cannot stand because it's like, well, I know I've lost the game. I'm playing the bloody game. I don't need you to tell me and patronise me that I've lost the game.
Yeah, I hate stuff like that. Another one I hate as well, random trophies, where you've got to do a random thing, and it's literally all just luck-based on whether or not you can get it. Like, again, it was Assassin's Creed Origins, I think it was. You had to get...
Yeah.
You had to ride around in the desert and get, was it a burning bush or a plague? No, I think it was a plague of locusts.
Yeah.
And it's all randomly generated between, I think it's about 10 or 12 different things that could happen in the desert. And I just roared and roared and roared and roared. And I think it took about an extra hour and a half just for that to pop. And I think that was the last thing I even did in the game before I ejected it and sold it on. That was the last thing I had to do to get 100% because you wouldn't get it naturally. And it's because it's random, there's a very low chance of it ever happening. And it's like stuff like that, it just really annoys us because it's like, you know, that's just been put in just to pad out the game.
There's one I heard of in Metal Gear Solid 4. Just to round this off, just to highlight just the ridiculousness of trophies. From Metal Gear Solid 4, there was one called Handled with Caution. Have you guys heard of this?
Is that the one where you have to be not seen for like the full game?
No. Handled with Caution is, you know, Geriatric Snake has that camouflage suit.
Yeah.
Right. Handled with Caution is basically the one where there are statues and you have to hide among the statues. And in order for you to get the trophy, you have to escape detection 3 times. But in order for you to truly escape detection, to be like 100% certain that you're not going to be found, one of the statues, you basically have to lower your head and grab that statue's wine. Which is apparently why it's called Handle with Caution. Now, how you grab the wine, I don't know, but... That is apparently how you get that achievement. If you've got that achievement, let us know how you got it. Not in, like, ridiculous detail. We just need a general idea. Did you grab the wang or not?
I just reached out and it was right in front of me.
Reach out and touch.
And then the trophy popped. And so did I.
Did he jizz in his pants?
Oh dear!
Yeah,
so end it there.
I remember that AMV. Yeah, that's us for this time. What games are you proud of finishing? Are you an achievement hunter? Do you agree with our thoughts on trophies? Do you think trophies are basically just they don't serve any purpose anymore? Or are they, as Andy says, are they handy little bookmarks that tell you how far you've got through a game? You know, let us know in the comments below. Anyway, until next time on Press X, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Mark.
We'll see you all later.
Bye!